Wrestling Radio. LockerRoomHQ.com. You press your lock up against his body. Now you're stuck, but you're lying down and dirty. You don't care where you're going. Anywhere is better than I'm going. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better than. Anywhere is better than here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And today we're here to talk about tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, we do have some big news. Now, you've probably heard this news already, but some people haven't, so I figured we should go ahead and cover it here. And that is, of course, the Survivor Series is canceled. Survivor Series is done. Not happening anymore in WWE for 2 years until they change their mind. But recently, Vince McMahon talked about a lot of things at an investors news conference, things like a WWE cable network, different ways that they are bringing in new income. They are charging for WrestleMania in Mexico on pay-per-view, whereas last year it was free, so they're hoping to bring up some of their revenues as far as pay-per-view goes this year. But Survivor Series did not make the cut for next year. They feel that the show is too outdated. They feel that in 2010, it's just not a viable idea. And, you know, to be honest, I think they're right to a certain degree. Now, I think there were other factors involved in Survivor Series this year. There was really no good main event. The main event was really Cena versus DX in a triple threat, and it was all guys goofing off, and no one took it seriously, so who cares. There are too many Survivor Series matches. It's one thing when they say, hey, we're going to do a Survivor Series match, and that's your main event, and it's the 10 best guys you have in the company going at it, but instead they do Raw, SmackDown, and ECW all have their own Survivor Series matches. And, I mean, let's face it, look at ECW. They have 10 people on the roster. Doesn't take a whole lot to get a team together for them because it's just everybody. Survivor Series, if they had done it as a concept where, they've done it in the past where it's just the 10 best guys, the 10 top faces, 10 top heels, versus each other in a big match, then that tends to work a little bit better. But when you have three matches, it's really hard to care because you're seeing it three times. It's a lot like Elimination Chamber where they're going to have these different Elimination Chamber matches. You're getting two of them, SmackDown and Raw are both doing their own Elimination Chamber matches, and it's a neat idea, but really, when you think about it, how can you care so much about one in general as a draw for the show if you're going to be seeing a second one based on the gimmick alone? So that's one problem that they have when they do some of these big gimmick things. But for now, Survivor Series is gone. They will be doing a pay-per-view on that night. But it will not be Survivor Series. They're going to have a new concept, some sort of new gimmick that they're going to do that night. There have been talks of all sorts of different things. So, who knows at this point. I'm not even going to throw them out because at this point they're all just speculation. But there will be something going on that night. It just will not be the Survivor Series. So if you were a fan of that, sorry to break the news to you if you haven't heard it already. But there you go with that. All right, let's talk about SmackDown tonight. And again, another great episode of SmackDown. WWE has been on a roll for at least 2 weeks with Raw and SmackDown. And this is another great show that if you're a fan of wrestling, I think you're going to want to see this one. Now, the show opened with the announcement that... Actually, it was kind of funny because it opened without the opening graphics. Just kind of went to the stage, went to the pyro going off, and they announced that it would be Undertaker versus Jericho in a no DQ match. Then out came Rey Mysterio to take on CM Punk and the Straight Edge Society. And these two guys had a long match. I didn't sit down and time it, but 12 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, somewhere within that range, it felt like a long, high-caliber match. These two guys did a great job. I've said before, I'm not the biggest fan of CM Punk, but he is slowly winning me over. And these two guys did a pretty good job. They got everybody involved. Serena got involved. Luke Gallows got involved. But basically, what happened is Serena got up on the apron to distract the referee, and Gallows jumped up to try to grab Rey Mysterio. But instead, Rey Mysterio grabbed Gallows' head and dropped down, draping his neck over the top rope, sending him down to the floor. Rey then went for a 619, and CM Punk moved out of the way and instead grabbed Rey, put him up top for the go to sleep, and Rey reversed it into a roll up. So, this as an opening match, I mean, this could have been the main event match of the night. This, if this had been the payoff for watching the entire show, it would have been a thumbs up show. And instead, this was the opening match for the night, which set a great tone and just altogether a great match. But of course, Rey Mysterio, as soon as he won the match and started to celebrate, Luke Gallows jumped in and attacked him. Pretty much everybody, Serena, CM Punk, they all kind of beat the crap out of him, and then CM Punk hit him with the go-to-sleep after the bell. They showed Drew McIntyre. They did this little video package thing that started before his entrance video, before he came down to the ring. It was kind of interesting, actually. Makes me wonder if it's something they're going to be doing more of in the future, but he is a champion, so maybe they're going to start doing it with champions. I'm not sure. But they had Drew McIntyre get in the ring, and he's supposed to be against Kane, and he said he doesn't want to wrestle Kane tonight. He's got nothing to prove. He beat Kane last week in the three-way, and if Kane wants a match, he can have it next week. And as soon as he turned to leave, the referee rang the bell. Kane booted the mic basically into McIntyre's head, and the two of them kind of went back and forth. They went through a commercial. They came back. They ended up fighting on the outside, fighting on the apron, fighting in the barricade, and the ref counted a count out on both of them. So Kane threw McIntyre back into the ring. The two of them continued to fight a little bit more. McIntyre grabbed the title belt and went to hit Kane with it, but Kane stopped him, hit him with a choke slam, picked up the belt, kind of looked at it, draped it across McIntyre, and left. For what it was fine. You know, not a big fan of Kane. I like McIntyre for the most part. The two of them together, it was an interesting match. I have to say that my initial analysis was pretty low when they ended it with the double countout. I was less than enthusiastic with that ending. But then when they continued to battle and they had Kane drape the belt across them, I thought that was a nice little ending there. I don't necessarily want to see these two guys get into a pay-per-view match, have some sort of big confrontation. But, you know, this was fine for what it was. They showed Mickey James backstage picking up fruit off of the snack table, and Layla and Michelle McCool came in. They started talking about how, of course, she's eating and blah, 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 blah. She basically got in their face, told them it was over. She's the champion. Michelle McCool did some fat jokes. So Mickey slapped at Michelle McCool, who was holding a bowl of cottage cheese, and the cottage cheese flew all over Vicky Guerrero. Vicky Guerrero screamed, Mickey James ran away, Layla and Michelle McCool tried to help her get cleaned off. Go to commercial, come back. They had Mickey James versus Layla with Michelle McCool at ringside. They wrestled for about a minute or so, and then Vicky Guerrero came out on stage. She said it was now a handicap match. So Michelle McCool took her boots off and jumped into the ring. They double-teamed her like you do in a handicap match, beat the crap out of her, and ended up getting the pin. We cut backstage, and we see Batista. And he's walking his way, basically backstage to the entrance. And it's said that he asked for time to come out and explain himself. So, go to commercial, come back. And they show him attacking Bret Hart, show him attacking John Cena on Raw. He comes out to the ring, and he's wearing a skin-tight denim jacket with no shirt. And these huge, God, who is that douchebag guy? Can't think of his name. The one who interrupted Taylor Swift, Kanye West. Yeah, that douche. All right, so he's got glasses like him on, and he walks out to the ring. And they had Todd Grisham in the ring, and he basically asked him, why did you attack Bret Hart? Why did you attack Cena? Why did you walk out on the Elimination Chamber qualifying match that you had against CM Punk last week? And he handed the microphone, and Batista stood there for a minute, and he walked over to the turnbuckles, and he sat on the top, and he got down, and he walked out of the ring, and he walked around the ring, and he looked at some of the fans, and there was a guy in a Cena shirt who was egging him on, and he just kind of looked at the guy, and he kept walking. And he got in the ring, grabbed the mic, put it up to his face, dropped it on the ground. Gets out of the ring, starts leaving. And so everybody's chanting, you know, you suck, Cena, Cena, you suck. So Batista just kind of sits there for a minute. He goes, you want an explanation? You want an answer? So he walks back to the ring, picks up the microphone, drops it on the ground. He then kicks the microphone. It falls out of the ring, and he leaves and goes backstage. And that's the end of the segment. This was awesome! This was heat! This was pure heat. This was not X-Pac heat. This is not heat like The Miz gets because he sucks. And, you know, you're welcome. That's for our discussion that's been in the forum this past week. If you'd like to join in that Miz lover-hate relationship, feel free to join us, popculturenetwork.com, lockerroomhq.com, join our forum. But this was not X-Pac heat. This was heat. Old school heat. Drawing heat the hard way. This was great. I mean, my gosh, Batista as a heel is just awesome. And this was another just great thing. So they go to commercial, they come back, Teddy Long comes out, and he says because Batista refused to fight for his shot at the Elimination Chamber, and he didn't explain why, he is going to have to wrestle the winner of the Royal Rumble, Edge, and that will be next week on SmackDown. Let's see here. Next, we had Matt Hardy and Great Khali come down to the ring, and Matt gets on the mic, and he says, you know, Valentine's Day is coming. I have a very special Valentine I'd like to have come out here and join us. And so he calls out Maria, and she comes down and gives Matt Hardy this big hug. And I have no idea where this is going or what the point is, other than the fact that next came out the Hart Dynasty, who had Natalya on their team. So I'm guessing they wanted another female to play off Natalya, but still, you know, whatever. They did, you know, just kind of a quick little match here. It wasn't anything too incredibly special, just that Natalya tripped Matt Hardy, and so Maria attacked her. Tyson Kidd tried to roll Hardy up at that point, but instead Matt Hardy got him rolled up and got the three count. Nothing too spectacular, just they did refer to the Great Khali as the Punjabi playboy, who will have plenty of Valentines on hand. And, you know, you laugh. It seems funny, but think about Andre the Giant. Was Andre the Giant a good-looking man? Was Andre the Giant a handsome man? Yet everywhere that Andre the Giant went, because of his size, he got the ladies. So I'm pretty sure that the Punjabi playboy, he does all right. Now, I think he's married, but as we all know, in professional wrestling, the road will own you, as they say on the Figure Four Weekly. And so I'm sure the Punjabi playboy has his share of fun while he's on the road. I mean, I don't mean that as a knock or anything like that. I'm just, I'm sure he's a player. Next up, we had R-Truth versus John Morrison. I was kind of surprised that they put this match on TV. John Morrison got a legit injury in this match. He twisted his ankle. R-Truth, they started the match. R-Truth and John Morrison shook hands, and the crowd clapped for it. Two guys that they respect each other. They did a couple moves. R-Truth went for a duck down, And John Morrison rolled over him, and when he planted his foot on the ground, it planted a little sideways, and he rolled the ankle and immediately fell to the ground and rolled around. And the referee goes, "Do you want to continue?" And John Morrison just didn't reply, and he just kind of grabbed at it. He tried to stand up, and he fell over. And the referee came over and asked him if he wanted to continue again. And John Morrison just started taking his boot off, and he goes, no. So the referee calls for the bell, says he cannot compete. So they stop the match. R-Truth is declared the winner. They took off his boot, took a look at his ankle. R-Truth helped him up and started to help him to the back, and he got a round of applause. So this was unscripted. This is a legit injury. Morrison twittered that he broke his ankle in three places, which was a joke. He did not. They believe it was just a, twisted the ankle, just happened in the match, no big deal. He did travel to the live events this weekend, so apparently he's fine now. So he will be, as far as I know, he's still competing, same as always, but it's kind of a shame because John Morrison, R-Truth, I think, could have been a pretty good match, and instead didn't happen. They had Edge come down to the ring, and he talked about how he won the Rumble, and so he gets to pick who he wants to be in the main, who he wants to fight in the main event at WrestleMania, and basically just talked about how Undertaker is the type of guy who has a long winning streak at WrestleMania, and so therefore he would love to take that away from Undertaker. This brought out Jericho, who basically said that Jericho's planning on winning the title at the Elimination Chamber, and he very well might. He said that Edge should be taking him seriously. They basically kind of went back and forth. It's still in the books for these two to have a confrontation at WrestleMania. That's the plan. That's been the plan for a long time. So the two of them talked about how Edge got injured and he was gone, and Jericho talks about how he's never been gone because of an injury. He talked about how he's just going to be winning the Elimination Chamber, and he basically told Edge, "You should just pick right now that you're going to face the winner of the Raw Chamber because you don't want to face me at WrestleMania." And it was a good promo from Jericho and good promo from Edge, and again, another thumbs up segment. But as the two of them talked, the Undertaker's bell gonged, and he came down to the ring. And again, Jericho and Undertaker had a good match, and this again felt like this almost could have been a pay-per-view match. It was a little too short, obviously, from what you would expect between Taker and Jericho. But all in all, a great match. It was no DQ, and they used it as an excuse to brawl on the outside without getting disqualified or anything, and for Edge to get involved towards the end, which was nice because a lot of times guys start talking about wanting to do a DQ match, and suddenly you've got garbage can lids and Singapore canes and chairs and all this goofy stuff. And luckily, they stayed away from all that, and instead they brawled on the outside. They had Undertaker hit a leg drop. He was going to go for a choke slam, and Jericho rolled to the outside, and he found himself looking face to face with Edge, who was outside doing commentary. So while Jericho and Edge were having the stare off, Undertaker jumped out and attacked Jericho from behind. And so, knocking him from behind, Undertaker found himself face to face with Edge. So the two of them faced off. Undertaker backed off, picked up Jericho, and instead threw him over the announce table. And then, once again, got in Edge's face. The two of them stared off. Undertaker picked up Jericho, threw Jericho in the ring, turned around, hit a big boot on Edge to lay him out in a nice little quick spot there. Got back in the ring. Let's see. Jericho hit a DDT, avoided a choke slam, and while Undertaker was down, he removed a turnbuckle, but Jericho ended up getting knocked into the turnbuckle and got rolled up, and it looked like he was about to be taken out by a last ride when Edge jumped in the ring and hit a spear on Undertaker and left, but no DQ, nothing you can do about it. So Edge went to leave, walked up the ramp, and Undertaker sat up. He went to grab Jericho, but Jericho jumped up, hit the Codebreaker, and got the pinfall. So Jericho did beat Undertaker, and Undertaker was none too pleased. So I think it was a really great match. It was a great ending, got all those guys wrapped up together. It shows Jericho can beat Undertaker, and especially in a situation like the Elimination Chamber, you have enough guys in there that, you know, definitely the champion is at a disadvantage as far as being able to retain. And it's just, it kind of played into the whole, you know, who is Edge going to end up going against at WrestleMania? It played into Edge versus Jericho. It played into a possibility of Edge facing Undertaker. It just did so much in that neat little wrap-up to the match there. So I really can't complain about the show. You know, all the stuff with Mickey James and Layla Michelle McCool was stupid, as it usually is, but really that was the only bad part of the show. Even Drew McIntyre and Kane, even though it was nothing special as far as it being, you know, it's Kane, it was still kind of fun to watch, and I enjoyed it altogether. So I think that's going to do it for today. Don't forget that this is Toy Fair weekend starting Sunday, although I think we might have some sneak preview stuff making it onto the site on Saturday. But Toy Fair, Sunday, Monday, make sure you check for updates. They are planning on recording some audio, recording some video, doing some updates from the show. Got a text message from Killen not too long ago saying they were on a plane. It was going to be 2 hours going from Chicago to Connecticut, so they're going to have a good time hooking up with Ido Bandito, Retroware TV, and taking care of that show. So make sure you check back for all that stuff. And then don't forget, we will have the weigh-in. We will have fantasy, or not fantasy football, just Sports Talk Radio. We have episodes of Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. I always have to pause whenever I start that one. And I have to say it like a robot. Otherwise, you never know what words will actually come out of my mouth. We have the Comics Corner. Oh, snap! I just remembered that Ryan Porter sent me his Comics Corner, and I have completely spaced on getting it posted on the site. So expect to see that by the time you're listening to this. Hopefully by the time the show is over, I have that on the site. So anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for checking us out. And we will talk to you guys on Tuesday to talk about Monday Night Raw.
The great wrestling promoter called me on the phone and said, Nate, that Slick Rick champ, I'm going to make the price right. Brother, your credentials are unlimited, but you got to take a long look at yourself before you walk that aisle, because this right now is the toughest piece of work in wrestling today. Not Ricky Martel, not the Road Warriors, not the Freebird, not the Road Warriors, but Ric Flair. Woo! The living legend, the world champion.
I can't help that I'm custom made. I can't help, but I'll tell you this. I can't help that I look good, feel good. Woo! Can't dance all night long. I can't help that I'm custom made. I can't help, but I'll tell you this. I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
That's the world champion.
Woo! Can't dance all night long.
Woo!
Can't dance all night long.
Woo!
Can't dance all night long.
Winnipeg Arena's gonna be on fire. Gonna be on fire. You know what I'm talking about?
Woo! I guess, Allah! You really wanna jump on?